Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to a special May 17th Basketball Africa League edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Voice of America.
The Voice of America is an official broadcasting partner of the new league, and we'll give you daily updates on the 12-team tournament right through to the final on May 30th in Kigali, Rwanda. In Sunday's opening game, the home team, Patriots of Rwanda, got off to a good start, beating Nigeria's Rivers Hoopers 83-60. American power forward Brandon Costner of the Patriots led all scorers with 20 points. The 33-year-old Costner was one of several signings made by the Patriots before the BAL tournament tipped off. He played his college basketball at North Carolina State University here in the USA. And as a professional, Brandon has played for teams based in Belgium, France, China, Puerto Rico, Lebanon, and Japan. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to another American player signed by the Patriots just before the action started in Kigali, rap star J. Cole. And J. Cole scored 3 points and had 3 assists in his Basketball Africa League debut. Meanwhile, another American player, Taryn Sullivan, led Rivers Hoopers in scoring with 15 points, and Sullivan also had 6 rebounds. One of the fans who watched Sunday's game in the Rwandan capital is Brian Kurunji, the manager and co-founder of the Patriots. And before the game, Brian spoke with VOA's Jackson Mvunganyi about the Patriots as well as the BAL tournament. Here's Jackson.
So, Brian, talk to me about the excitement in Kigali. What's the mood like as you get ready to, you know, to host this tournament?
I mean, I've not seen anything like this before in my sporting career, you know, as a player, as a manager. The whole of Kigali is lit. Everything is about basketball. Everyone wants a ticket. And because of the COVID restrictions, there's limitation on the percentage of the arena. You can only have 15% of the capacity. So all the people you know can't get tickets. So it gets in, it builds the hype even more. Being the host, having J. Cole in town, you know, builds it even further. So it's crazy. The country has gone mad.
Okay, you know? So let's talk to me about your inspiration to start. You're one of the founders and currently the manager of the Patriots Basketball Club. What inspired you to start the club, and how did it get selected to play in the Basketball Africa League?
You know, friends of mine always say this: our journey is one of tears, pain, and sweat. So, you know, it's just a bunch of friends coming together for fitness, like you guys are doing down in DC, you know, just to play for fun, keep in shape. But, you know, after some time, we said, look, what else can we do for the game? Can we get into the league and maybe change a few things, you know, go changing how the, you know, professional the league is run, what times the games are, can we introduce Friday night lights, can we bring prime time, can we bring, you know, fans to the arena? When we started, there was, you know, no people actually watching these games. There were no drinks, there was no popcorn, there was no coke, you know. So it was just a game. I'd rather, you know, making plays, friends, young people can actually come and enjoy. So it's been a tough journey. It started in 2014. And I think when this whole concept of trying to introduce the league, the NBA league out of the US started, we were just, you know, we're champions in the local league. But they told us if we were champions the coming year, would actually represent the country. And this is how basically we got to qualify for the games. They were obviously postponed. They should have been last year. Because of COVID, they pushed them today. So we're excited that we're now here.
Right,
so tomorrow
right.
is D-Day.
It's been a long journey for you. I mean, I remember you coming over to DC to visit me. We'll take you playing basketball with my friends.
Yes, yes.
I remember taking you to a couple of times to the University of Maryland College Park here in my neighborhood at the court.
Yes.
We played with some of those young players. But, you know, what does it mean for you to see the team grow to where it is right now? to where it represents the country on this level.
I mean, Jackson, you're right. I mean, it's been a long, long journey for us, but and some of you have played a big part in this, you know, showing us facilities and infrastructure in, you know, in the US and things we could learn and see, you know, how we could bring this back home, you know, and for us, it's a journey of moving from an amateur club to a pro club, you know, basically meaning that now, you know, you have a whole structure around you. It's not just Brian and friends, you know, taking charge of things. You have, we have, you know, professional players coming out of the US to join, you know, and beef up our team. We have players picking up salaries that they would never otherwise have picked up. You know, we have a whole structure of, you know, CEO or COO, people who actually run the organization. So for us, or rather for me, to see this come to this stage is I mean, I don't know, it's like, you know, how your wife gives you the first child, or it's like when you get your first job, or when you, you know, marry, you know, those first.
This is one of those, you know, remarkable achievements, monumental.
Those aha moments.
Yes. Let's talk about the state of basketball in the country, in Rwanda. What is the state of basketball in Rwanda, and what does it mean for the country that it gets to host this historic tournament?
I think, again, it speaks to the country. I mean, Rwanda has been ready for things like this, you know, not just in the sporting world, but I mean, every other sphere in terms of the leadership, the you know, the peace, you know, the infrastructure that they're putting in place to make sure that we are ready, you know, transparency, raising awareness in the country that say, look, when you host something like this, you're actually, you know, showing off your country, what else they have behind them, if it's a tourism, if it's investment opportunities. So for us, we're using this as a platform. So it's just basketball. It's going to be on the floor. We're going to sweat out there and play, but it's just basically how you use that to actually show off or showcase what Rwanda has to present. So, I mean, I think Rwanda's been ready. They've built all the pillars, you know, be it the peace, be it the cleanness, the, you know, the awareness of everybody.
The standards, the, basically. The
standards. They raise the standards, actually. Yes, yeah. You know, you're right.
And what is the state of basketball in the country? How popular is the sport?
I think I should be, you know, at the risk of being very arrogant because I love the game of basketball. I think we're becoming a very close number two to soccer. and if we keep at this pace, I think we'll overtake soccer because our soccer team has not really done so well in the past. So we hopefully, if we do well at this tournament, we'll, you know, be pushing up there. But Rwanda, I think, is ready for sports. We have cycling, which is doing well. We have cricket. We have all these other sports that are actually doing well. So basketball is just one of those. Mm-hmm. But I think it's doing so well, you know. And Patriots, we're so lucky that we've been given a platform to be at the forefront of this whole, you know, journey.
You feel like the country is ready to become a basketball powerhouse on the continent?
I think the time is now. You know, it's a big challenge. We're going to go against, you know, big powerhouses like Angola, like Tunisia, Egypt, and Morocco. Mm-hmm. But I think the time is now. You know, we just have to, you know, you only test yourself against the best. And those are the best, then Rwanda. And we just have 2 weeks to, you know, come to the table.
Right. I know the Basketball Africa League was supposed to happen last year, but it was postponed or canceled because of the pandemic. How hard was it for you to manage the team and prepare for this tournament during this pandemic?
I mean, like you can imagine, Jackson, it was tough in terms of, I mean, resources were cut back, you know, investors in the club, sponsors to the club, all those cut back because of their own issues in their houses. We had players in country because when it was postponed in March. I'd actually brought in all my imports. I'd already brought in my coaches. We were housing them, we were feeding them, we were getting them ready for the championship. I'd signed contracts with all the 12 players and the coaches. So, you know, breaking those contracts, ensuring that everybody's happy, keeping them, you know, ready for, you know, what is actually after 12 months, that we're going to play for 12 months, was a challenge. But, you know, keeping everybody interested in the game, I think that was a critical point. It's not to give up because you could have easily given up. I could have walked away, you know, they could have walked away. But I think we kept the hope, you know, the dream and said, look, guys, whenever this opens up, I think we'll be there. Mm-hmm. So I think our biggest challenge was, yes, resources, but I think keeping the love of the game, you know, at its best.
Keeping it going.
Keep it going. And I think we did well. And there's a couple of guys behind me, you know, behind the organization that played a critical role to keep us here. And I think, you know, we were here tomorrow again, like I say, it's day. So it's going to be worth the wait. So let's see how we play out.
We are very excited. And I know, you know, Brian, you're a very busy man right now. These are very critical hours for you. So I won't keep you long, but I'm hoping that we'll catch up with you at some point later on during the week. But before you go, I want to ask you, you know, your team just signed to its roster one of the most famous artists in the world. You know, that's rapper J. Cole. How did that happen? And what does J. Cole bring to the team?
Oh, I think first of all, J. Cole is just a bowler, you know, and I want to speak to the man as just a basketballer. It helps that he has a career outside of basketball. It does, bring us a little bit of attention. But I think for me, what was most important when I was like negotiating his engagement with us was more about the love for the game and the ability for him to come to the continent and play for Rwanda, play for Patriots, you know, don my jersey. I think that's, for me, speaks to the world to say, you know what, we are ready to attract the best of the best. We are ready to attract the top talent. And Rwanda is the destination, you know, come through, you know, come and test your abilities. You know, we are willing to give everybody an opportunity. So for us, J. Cole, Patriots is a marriage, if you will, made in heaven. And I hope it does work, you know. I really hope it does work, and I think it will.
Really proud of you, Brian. And I want to tell you that I'm about to go start playing basketball with my friends. We are going to be streaming J. Cole's album. We have a big speaker when we are playing. So, you know, shout out to you and your teammates.
Thank you.
You guys will be watching on you. And, you know, big up, my brother.
Appreciate it, Jackson. Thank you so much.
That's Brian Karungi, the manager and co-founder of the Patriots Basketball Club. And Brian spoke with VOA's Jackson Mvunganyi from Kigali, Rwanda. Meanwhile, Rwandan basketball supporters say they hope the new league and playing host to the games will shine a spotlight on African players and help promote the sport in Africa. Alex Ngarambe reports from Kigali.
21-year-old Arnold Nkusi plays for the Rwandan military-funded APR, or Army Patriotic Front Club. He also studied in the U.S. state of Texas.
I think it's a great step for African teams. That way they can show how they're good and their talent, because in the past years we haven't had time to like show our potential and everything. So now it's a good opportunity, and especially that it's happening in Rwanda. That way our players will be looked at, so we can have scouts and agents and other teams coming in to watch our players play and have opportunities to play abroad.
The BAL is a partnership of the U.S. National Basketball Association, NBA, and the Geneva-based International Basketball Federation, FIBA. It's the NBA's first initiative to launch a league outside of North America. But some Rwandan basketball supporters lament that required coronavirus testing will prevent them from being able to attend the games at the Kigali Arena. Strato Ahimana is president of Rwanda's Association of Basketball Umpires and a member of the technical committee in Rwanda's Basketball Federation.
Ngenda bona kugeza kuri uyu munsi wa none ibyo twa twiteze ntabwo ari byo tuzabona.
He says the umpires he leads needed to attend and see the level of officiating at this tournament so they can share knowledge and experience with their colleagues. Rwandan basketball only emerged in the last couple of decades, but the national team has qualified a few times for the FIBA AfroBasket, another continent-wide tournament. But while fewer supporters can watch the games in person, many will be cheering from a safe distance. Cliff Owol, head coach of the APR club, is one of them.
Kwanza teams za Rwanda na za Africa zenye watacheza.
He says Rwandan and other African teams that compete in this league will benefit a lot, especially coaches and players who will gain experience through these games. Although it comes amid COVID-19 and a difficult period, says Owol, the experience they will gain is priceless. VOA Radio will simcast the Basketball Africa League games in English and French and provide play-by-play coverage in Bambara, Kinyarwanda, Wolf, and Portuguese. Alex Ngarambe for VOA News, Kigali, Rwanda.
Thanks, Alex. Now let's go to Johannesburg, South Africa, where VOA's Anita Powell filed this report on the Basketball Africa League.
26 games writing a major chapter of African sports history. That's the narrative of the inaugural season of the new Basketball Africa League, an NBA offshoot. Basketball is not, currently, the continent's favorite sport. That trophy goes to the mighty soccer, or football as it's more commonly known. But the courtly game has risen in popularity since it was introduced widely on the continent in the 1960s, siring African stars who hit American courts running, like NBA legends Hakeem Olajuwon of Nigeria, Dikembe Mutombo of the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Lol Deng of South Sudan. The 12 BAL teams are called from the best teams, many of them police and army teams, across the continent. They include West African teams like Nigeria, Cameroon, and Senegal, Southern heavyweights Angola and Mozambique, and the might of the Maghreb in the form of teams from Tunisia, Morocco, and Algeria. And bringing a bit of musical flash and street cred to the new league, rapper J. Cole has signed on to the Rwandan team, the Patriots BC. Rufilwe Seboko is a sports journalist based in Johannesburg, and although her home team, South Africa, didn't qualify for this tournament, that won't keep her from watching.
I am really, really excited about it. It's been a long time coming. I think it's a real moment of excitement for a lot of people on the continent, for a lot of, you know, basketball fans and basketball players, people who are employed by the sport. It's a big moment. It really, really is. I can't downplay how much it means for African basketball in the past and going into the future.
Seboko declined to bet on a winner, but said no matter what, viewers can expect high-energy play and big physicality from these players. VOA caught up with BAL President Amadou Gallou Fall in Johannesburg before the first game. He said the decision to give Africa its own league was pretty obvious.
We have no doubt, and everybody recognizes the, you know, tremendous amount of talent that the continent has. You know, players from Africa have been having major impact, not only in the NBA, but also in the NCAA. And today, I mean, these days, we are the March Madness, the annual college basketball tournament taking place with, you know, many African players in multiple elite college rosters. So, you know, the talent has always been there.
And Seboko said this is a great way to show off Africa's excellence and keep it on home soil.
It's so incredibly important to have a league of Africans on the African continent for so many levels. We have the talent, number one. If we have the talent, let's do it. Let's get these guys the opportunities to play at home on their continent and not have to feel like they have to go outside of the continent to Europe or to the States to be successful. I think this is such an important step in just like teaching the young people who are going to be watching them that, you know, you don't have to leave home to go and make a success of yourself as an athlete.
So will the starting season reveal Africa's streaky shooters or a torrent of threes, dunks to die for or nothing but net? Spectators will have to see or hear for themselves. VOA Radio will simulcast the games in English and French and give play-by-play coverage in Bambara, Kinyarwanda, Wolof, and Portuguese for some games. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
Sporting greetings. I'm Ogo Daudu, head coach of Rivers Hoopers Basketball Club of Port Harcourt. You are listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
The Basketball Hall of Fame officially inducted 9 new members over the weekend, including the late Los Angeles Lakers star Kobe Bryant. The 5-time NBA champion died last year at the age of 41 in a helicopter crash, along with his daughter Gianna and 7 others near Los Angeles, California. The Hall of Fame induction ceremonies were held at the Mohegan Sun Resort in the northeast U.S. state of Connecticut. Kobe's widow, Vanessa, offered an acceptance on his behalf as NBA great Michael Jordan stood nearby.
Last February, I called Michael and asked him if he would introduce Kobe tonight, and he graciously accepted. Thank you for being here, Michael. Congratulations, baby. All of your hard work and sacrifices paid off. You once told me, if you're going to bet on someone, bet on yourself. I'm glad you bet on yourself, you overachiever. You did it. You're in the Hall of Fame now. You're a true champ. You're not just an MVP. You're an all-time great. I'm so proud of you. I love you forever and always. Kobe Bean Bryant.
Also inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame were two of the sport's best big men, Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett. Duncan, like Kobe Bryant, was a 5-time NBA champion. He spent his entire 19-year NBA career with the San Antonio Spurs, earning All-Star honors 15 times. For his part, Kevin Garnett played 21 seasons in the NBA and also earned All-Star honors 15 times. And in 2008, the man nicknamed KG won an NBA championship with the Boston Celtics. Both Duncan and Garnett paid tribute to Kobe Bryant. Duncan says he knew he had to take his game to the highest level when he played against Kobe.
Your greatest competition brings the best out of you, and that's what he always did. You always had to be at your best and bring your best from start to finish if you were playing against him or any of his teams. And I think that's what I appreciate about remembering playing against him and being on the court with him, a fierce competitor, always demanding more of his team and his teammates than probably was possible. But he wanted to win that much. He wanted it that much, and it was an honor to share the court with him.
For his part, Kevin Garnett says he had a very close relationship with Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant was like a little bro to me, man. I got to see Kobe. He was very young and not as polished as everybody's got to see him when he was very vulnerable. We were both vulnerable. We were both young. And we used to always interact with each other with that youthfulness, with that kid persona. We always talked the game, cracked a lot of jokes on each other, but at the end, it was two very fierce competitors. And there was our parallel. You know, as much as he wanted to win, I wanted to win at the same time. As much as he thought he was the best, I thought I was the best. I used to always crack on him and tell him he was too small to play. He used to always crack on me, tell him I was too small to guard him. It was a great great conversation, great back and forth, and great competition. And I don't think I'm the only one in here that thinks that Kobe Bryant is fairly missed. Miss him every day. And what he brought to not just to the game of basketball, but to sports, period.
Also inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame was former WNBA star Tamika Catchings. And the five others who received their sport's highest honor were American coaches Kim Mulkey, Barbara Stevens, Eddie Sutton, and Rudy Tomjanovich. And Swiss basketball executive Patrick Baumann, like Kobe Bryant, was inducted posthumously.
Sporty greetings. This is Ike Diagu, captain of the Nigerian men's national basketball team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Ike. The National Basketball Association's regular season officially ended Sunday, and teams are now preparing for the playoffs. The Utah Jazz beat the host Sacramento Kings Sunday 121-99 to wrap up the NBA's best overall record, 52 wins and 20 losses. As a result, the Jazz also get the number one overall seed in the upcoming NBA playoffs. And the Brooklyn Nets also scored a big victory Sunday, beating the visiting Cleveland Cavaliers 123-109 to secure the number two overall seed in the Eastern Conference behind the Philadelphia 76ers. The AP's Dave Ferry tells us more about the victories by Brooklyn and Utah.
The Jazz have come away with the first overall seed in the NBA playoffs by finishing first in the West. Jordan Clarkson scored 33 points, and the Jazz completed a 52-20 campaign by hammering the Kings 121-99.
We got bigger goals, not just trying to be the number one team in the NBA for the regular season. You know, we're trying to play big time in the playoffs and do something special. So, we got bigger fish to fry.
Rudy Gobert added 13 points and 16 rebounds for Utah, which needed to win its final two games to hold off Phoenix for the top spot.
It's a great accomplishment, you know, coming from where we came from seven years ago, you know, from not making the playoffs and building from scratch and building stone after stone.
Mike Conley had 11 points, 9 assists, and 6 rebounds in his second game back after missing 2 weeks because of a right hamstring injury.
Just telling the guys, like, this doesn't happen every so often where you're the number one seed or number one team in the whole NBA in the regular season. So enjoy the moment that we're in right now. today, tonight, and tomorrow, get to thinking about the playoffs. So, we're just excited to be in this position.
Kevin Durant and the Nets have claimed the number two seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs with a 123-109 win over the Cavaliers.
It's a new season for us, and I think that's the mentality we all want to have. We did some solid things throughout the regular season, but we just want to continue to keep getting better, but not, realize that the regular season is over. This is a new vibe for us, so I'm looking forward to the preparation we go through, just the whole journey I'm looking forward to.
Durant fell two rebounds shy of a triple-double, providing 23 points and 13 assists in the Nets' fifth straight win. Kyrie Irving had 17 points for the Nets, who rested James Harden after he played the last two games following an 18-game injury absence. Irving shot 7 of 11 from the field and 3 for 3 from three-point range. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Nets coach Steve Nash is happy with getting the number two playoff seed in the Eastern Conference.
I'm really proud of our team. You know, getting the two seed is an accomplishment for everything that we faced this year. And I feel like everybody in that locker room contributed in a meaningful way, which makes it special. So a lot to be proud of, a lot to be thankful for, but this is what we came for, so now we get to work and really go at it.
And you might say Steve Nash really went at it during his NBA playing career. He was a 2-time NBA Most Valuable Player, an 8-time NBA All-Star, and Steve Nash was officially enshrined in the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2018. And with the inaugural season of the Basketball Africa League taking place in Rwanda, this fun fact about Steve Nash, he has ties to Africa. Nash was born in Johannesburg, South Africa, to a Welsh mother and an English father. Steve's father, John, was a professional soccer player. And I'm pretty sure soccer is Steve Nash's second favorite sport behind basketball.
Yo, 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 sporty greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigress Nigerian women's national team, and Flams Carolo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19. Thank you so much.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Finally, let's give a sunny side of sports birthday salute to 1976 Olympic gold medalist and multiple world champion Sugar Ray Leonard, who's regarded as one of the greatest boxers of all time. Leonard was born May 17th, 1956 in Wilmington, North Carolina. Happy 65th birthday, Sugar Ray. And one more quick boxing note. Tyson Fury has announced on Twitter he'll fight Anthony Joshua on August 14th in Saudi Arabia to determine the undisputed world heavyweight champion. And that wraps up a special May 17th Basketball Africa League edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.